Ralph, would you open us up with a word of prayer?
Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the opportunity to be here tonight. Thank you for your word, that you would use our pastor as he preaches tonight, that you would help him to be effective, and that you would speak to our hearts. The day in which we live just gets worse and worse, but we know that that is how it has to be, because the time of the Lord Jesus' return to take us home is very soon. So we pray that in spite of the obstacles that we face daily, that we would stay strong, and through the power of your Holy Spirit, that we would do the things that would please you until the time comes that the Lord Jesus comes to take us home. If in the meantime some of us leave this earth by way of death, then so be it. Help us to be prepared for that as well. We know that your will is going to be accomplished in our lives, and help us to be doing your business in the time that we have. I pray that you would continue to give safety and travel at this time of the year. There's so much traffic all over the roads, and no doubt lots of folks flying as well. I pray that you give safety and travel and a good time of refreshment for those who are away. We pray for those who would normally be here tonight and can't be here because of various sicknesses that numerous ones have in the church. We pray that you would just comfort each heart and strengthen each one. Our desire would be to see them restored to full health and strength.
Amen.
Leave that in your hand, knowing that your way is always best. And even in our times of weakness, your strength can always shine forth and be a testimony to those around us. Thank you now for our time together. Help us to have a great time in service tonight. Bring honor and glory to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. If you're able, I'd ask you please stand with me. We're going to turn to page 530. We're going to sing A Shelter in the Time of Storm. Page 530. thankful that Jesus Christ is always there to shelter you and be there for you and give you the grace you need for everything. If you would, turn over with me to page 132. Page 132. The old rugged cross.
Yeah. I'm setting this up.
Well, knock it over. All right. What's that? That page out in that stem? 418. If you take that, look at that last hymn, page 418, if you could. Page number 418 in that hymn book. Appreciate that song. Thank you, Miss Donna, for playing. 418, it's very interesting picking this last song that we're singing. I don't normally write things up. I'm not a good drawer. But tonight, we're in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. And we looked at last week about how he says in that very first verse, and we're going to look at it in a second, talking about stirring up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Stirring up your minds by way of remembrance. Okay? And look at this, the hymn we sang, and look at the third stanza. It says, on every hand the foe we find, drawn up in dread array. Let tents of ease be left behind, and onward to the fray. Now look what it says next. Salvation's helmet on each head, with truth all girt about. We're going to look at that tonight. Peter talks about girding up the loins of your mind. Talks about you put on that helmet of truth, girt with salvation. We're going to look at it tonight. But what we're looking at this evening as we go forward with this is three types of minds. Okay, three types of minds. And we're going to go through. We might not get through all of it tonight, but to me, I know I say it, I might say it often, but to me, for me personally, this is one of the probably most important studies for myself. And the reason I say for myself, because I'm not going to put you in the same boat with me, is that I find my greatest struggles are in my mind. By far for me. Others, it might be different things for you, it might be different than me, but for me, the hardest thing that I struggle with is battles in my mind. Okay, you put on the helmet of salvation and you girt yourself with truth. And the Bible talks about taking hold of every thought and bringing it into the obedience of Jesus Christ. So there's three types of minds. I'm sure there's more in the Bible, but I'm going to categorize them as three. You have here, you have in the Bible, we're going to look at it tonight. You have a worldly mind. Then you have a lot today with this one. You have a troubled mind. But what we'd all would like to have is a Christ-like mind. Now, sad to say, a lot of Christians stay right in these two realms right here. Either between a worldly mind or a troubled mind, a lot of Christians spend time right here in very little time in a Christ-like mind. A lot of time in a worldly mind, a lot of time with a troubled mind, but very few settled. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Now we're going to be looking at some scriptures tonight. The reason I put this up here is I'm going to write the scriptures down if you'd like to get them later on and go over them. But we're going to go through some Bible because it's necessary this evening. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and look at verse number verse 57. Look what the Bible says here. We sang the song, faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. 1 Corinthians 15, 57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, because you have the victory, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time this evening. Lord, I pray you lead, guide, and direct, dear God. I pray you help me now, Lord. Lord, I pray you clear my thoughts, dear God, and just give me exactly what's needed this evening. Lord, that you be glorified, Father, that we'd walk out of here this evening, Lord, with our minds strengthened and girt about with truth, Lord, that our minds will be settled, unmovable, and always abounding in the work of the Lord. Lord, that you would receive the glory, honor, and praise and all that's said and done. Father, just help now, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. So the Bible, Paul says here that we have victory. Look, we have victory. We have victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, he says, because you have victory, Paul desires and the Lord desires for us to be steadfast, unmovable. Steadfast, unmovable, and then always abounding. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Because our labor is not in vain. Take your Bible, look over at Daniel, the book of Daniel. You say, preacher, why is this so important? Because I think right here, book of Daniel, chapter 12, is what we got to face today in our society. The book of Daniel, chapter number 12 and verse number 4. Daniel 12, 4. Book of Daniel. Look at chapter 12 and verse number 4. Daniel chapter 12 and verse number 4. Michael, the archangel, talking to Daniel, and he tells him in verse 4, he says, but thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. If that's not today, I don't know when it's going to be. Look, we could go to the airport right now, and if the right plane was there, we could be over in London, England within 6 to 7 hours, if not less, if the right plane was there. That was unheard of 50, 60, 100 years ago. You wanted to go to London, England, you had to get on a ship, and it would take forever to get there. Now, you can jump on a plane in 24 hours, be in any place in the entire world, any place. Knowledge shall increase, people going to and fro. Brethren, you know what the dangers of our technology is today? Is we get information that we don't need. Hear me. We get information that we don't need. I'll give you an example. Today, I saw something come across my path of all that's going on in Australia. The only thing it can do is discourage you. Years ago, 100 years ago, you wouldn't know what was going on in Australia for 4 or 5 months by the time the news got here by ship. But nowadays, you can know what's going on anywhere in the world in an instant. I had a brother send me something. I was checking out a brother's church website, and on their church website, they got a webcam of the Western Wall over there in Israel. You can watch it 24/7, live cam, watching the wall there over in Israel. You couldn't do that before. So what I'm saying today is that we get a lot of information that don't matter, that does not affect us. And understand what I'm saying other than praying for people, knowing that there was a car wreck in Wisconsin today that killed 5 people, what does that do for me here in Allentown? Other than make me sad that I know 5 people that died today. We get a lot of information today that sadly it affects our mind and it pulls us in the wrong direction than in the right direction. More towards discouragement than to encouragement. You say, preacher, why does that matter? Because the further you get pulled to discouragement, the more opportunity you give for the enemy to just knock you out. Just knock you out. What's the use? What is the use? Everything is going crazy. Everybody's going crazy. What's the use even trying to live today? I can't handle no more. Just take a gun. Christians can do that. Christians can do that. So take your Bible and look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4 real quick. We looked at it last week. We looked at 2 Corinthians 4, 4, because the first thing that we find here as far as the worldly mind goes, is we find that it's blinded. 2 Corinthians 4, 4, real quick. 2 Corinthians 4, 4, we find that in whom the god of this world hath what? Blinded the minds of them which believe not. For what purpose? Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto him. So underneath a worldly mind, you have it that is blinded. Now this helps you as you're going out to witness, realizing what you're dealing with is most individuals, their minds are blinded because of the god of this world. Well, how does he blind the minds of people? Entertainment, movies, music, politics, education. The list goes on, but the minds are blinded to the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Because there's victory in that. Brethren, I thank the Lord for my health. But I know there's a lot of individuals out there in their 40s and 50s that are on more medication because of things I believe they could get help with if they just come to Christ. Do you hear me? A lot of Christians are on prescription medications for things I believe they could get help from the Word of God. What do we read in Corinthians? Victory. That you be unmovable, always abounding, settled. Blinded minds. Take your Bible, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Flip over a couple chapters. Look at chapter 11, verse number 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 1. Look what the Bible says here. Would to God ye could bear with me a little of my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Victory. Now that we have victory, our next thing that we should strive for is to make sure we are a chaste virgin for our husband, the Lord Jesus Christ. That means it goes back to having, I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. The Bible desires for us to have pure minds. Verse 3, but I fear, Paul says, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so look at this, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Not that Christ is simple, but simplicity in this sense, the plain or freedom from subtlety or obtrusiveness. Basically, what Paul's saying here is when you come to Christ, he's not going to try to trick you. He's not going to play games with you. He's not going to work with you subtly or craftily or try to beguile you. God's not the author of confusions. The way of God is peaceful and plain and easily to be entreated. The book of James. The devil works in stratagems. The devil works in troubling. The devil works in scare tactics. That's not how God works. God works peaceably with those that are saved. Now, I'm going to put an asterisk here. I meant to put this in. These things cannot be accomplished unless you're saved. Okay, if you're not saved, this is not going to help you. So you got blinded minds. You got minds out there that are corrupted. One T, two T's, I'm not sure. My English professor back there will help me out later on. I'm not an English person, so if you see something spelled wrong up here, yep, all right. You know what, I read something today, this little rabbit trail a second here. I like some things about Charles Spurgeon, and I realized something, I'm not alone. He used to mess up all the time, I guess, when he was preaching. He said he had a man that would write a letter every week to him on all his mispronunciations and words that he said wrong. I'm not alone, Lord. Even Charles Spurgeon had somebody writing him letters of the words he mispronounced. Look, you want to make a list? It's going to be long for me. Hey, Pastor Wilson, that's one T, ain't it? See, one T. I knew you probably would know it too. One T, I'll race it off of there. Look, English. How you spell it? Got it. I didn't win no spelling bees either growing up. I'll tell you that right now. This ain't my strong topic right here. All right. So, corrupted minds, blinded minds. Flip the Bible over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now, this is an important section here. I meant to read it in the beginning, but before we go any further, I'm gonna read it now. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and Let's start here in verse number 1. All right. There's important scriptures right here in this chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. This goes right back to 2 Peter chapter number 2. We've been looking at it for weeks. False teachers, false prophets. Paul says, listen, I'm not trying to come with you with enticing words of men's wisdom, but with this, the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Look, when I would sit in a church or if I listen to sermons, I want a preacher that's got some power behind him. I want a preacher that's got some authority behind him. For what purposes? That the Spirit of God is working through him. I don't need dead religion. I need a man that knows God to learn from. Verse 5. Look what the Bible says here. How many churches fall prey to verse number 5 today? That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in what? In the power of God. Your faith doesn't stand in me. Your faith stands in the power of God. But how many people today put their faith and trust in what the preacher says or who the preacher is rather than in God? Well, I'm part of this camp, or I listen to this preacher, and I won't listen to this preacher because we differ here on a little bit. It's destroying the Baptist churches today. I was listening to a good, man, this man, he's got some good preaching. I just found him a few weeks ago. Man, he'll knock your socks off. He's so good. And he said he had a missionary come through one time, wonderful missionary. They loved him and all that. They were going to support him. He started trying to call him up to get a hold of him, let him know, we're going to support you for $100 a month. The missionary wouldn't return his phone calls. Finally, he got a hold of the missionary, I guess because of him bugging him so much. And he's like, brother, what's the problem here? We want to support you. We love you, and we want to try to help you get to the mission field, and we'd like to support you for $100 a month. I can't take your money. Well, what do you mean you can't take? Well, you had a book in the back of your shelf of your church there, and I can't take him. God help us today. God help us today when Baptists will cut issues like over the gap theory. You want to believe there's a gap? Fine, but I'm not breaking fellowship with you over a gap theory. Do I agree with it? Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe so. I don't. What I'm saying, brethren, is if it's not the blood of Jesus, if it's not key doctrines, if it's little pet peeves of this over here or little pet peeves over here, I'm not stopping talking to you because you might believe the earth is flat. There's greater fish to fry. But there's caused division within the church. There's division within the church over things that are, that may be your opinion. That might be your opinion. It's not really. We got issues today. Not with demonstration of the Spirit, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. Now look here. And I'm going to tell you why I'm saying some of these things. Because there's a lot of brethren that will put a lot of issues on those types of things that I just mentioned, and their spiritual life stinks. They'll make a huge issue over one pet peeve that they got, and everything they talk about revolves around that. Yet when you look at the life, there's no spiritual life there at all. None. But I'm an expert on this little sidetrack thing here, rather than what the Bible says. Now look what the Bible says here. Verse number 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the hearts of men the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Look at verse 10 now. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Brethren, you see, you get anything out of the Bible tonight, you get anything out of the Word of God tonight or in your own, it's by His Spirit. His Spirit. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. Look at this. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. The deep things of God. You know what I think the deep things of God are? Having a Christ-like mind. To me, that is some of the deep things of God. Not whether the earth is flat or not. To me, that is not the deep things of God. It matters nothing whether the earth's flat, round, rectangle, triangle, quadrupedoid, or whatever. It does not matter how the earth is shaped. Now, I have my own view of how I think it's shaped. I think it's a circle because the Bible says it's a circle, right? How does that affect the souls of men? How does that affect the souls of men? It's a side issue that I believe the enemy uses to get you distracted over what really matters, and that is a walk with God and in the souls of men. Verse 11, for what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now look at verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. Brethren, there is a spirit of the world out there. We ought not to receive the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Can you learn spiritual things? See, we can't apply when we get to here unless you have the Spirit of Christ dwelling within you. You can't have the mind of Christ unless you have the Spirit of Christ and have been born again of God, His Holy Spirit dwelling within you and teaching you and helping you compare spiritual things to spiritual things. Verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. You see, you can teach a natural man all day long, but he's not going to get it. He or she's not going to get it because the only way you can get it is by spiritual discernment. Spiritual discernment. Now look, there's multitudes of information, books, preaching, teaching on the Bible. So much so we could fill up this whole room probably. On scriptures, on manuscript evidence, on this and on that, as far as the Bible concerned. You know why I believe the King James Bible is God's Word? I believe that before I was even saved. You know why I believe and I only use a King James Bible? Because the Holy Spirit of God bears witness to it. And you know what that ultimately comes down to? You can get every professor, every doctor, every linguistic man there is, and everybody is going to argue with everybody. Everybody's going to argue with everybody. You know why I stand on this book? Because God's Spirit bears witness to it. Look at comparing spiritual things with spiritual. What does Hebrews 4:12 say? For the word of God is quick. What does quick mean?
Alive.
There's something different about that book. I can't explain it. But there's times where I read it and I think that it's reading me. You tell me that the Spirit of God, if you have, those of you saved, you're going to understand what I'm talking about. There's times where I get, and I've heard other preachers talk about this, you could be reading through your Bible and be in Chronicles and get ready to read through the begats of, you know, whoever. And the Lord's dealing with your heart about something you did the other day that you need to make right. I read 1 Corinthians chapter 2 for us to realize that these are spiritual things that we're talking about. spiritual things, things that are spiritually discerned. For what purpose? Look at verse 15. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For look at verse 16. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Wouldn't we desire to, my desire is to know the mind of the Lord. I want to know the mind of the Lord for my life. Lord, what is the will for you in my life? Dear God, I want you to lead, guide, and direct me as I go through my life. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We have, brethren, if you're saved tonight, you have the mind of Christ. You have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling within you. Jesus, the Bible says that he was full of the Holy Ghost. We have the Holy Ghost dwelling within us. Thus, we have the mind of Christ. Thus, we can live a victorious life. There is victory that we can have, we can hold on to. And it comes through knowing Jesus Christ. It comes by making sure our minds are in the right place along with our heart. Take your Bible, look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. I can spell this one. I think I can. Vanity. Vanity. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. Look what happens now, because of the vanity of your mind. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness, but ye have not so learned Christ. Paul gives a warning here to those at Ephesus. He says, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth from this time forward do not walk as other Gentiles walk in what? The vanity of their mind. Vanity means emptiness. Fruitless desire or endeavor, empty pleasure, vain pursuit. How many Christians are walking with a vain mind tonight? They're concerned about things that are just empty, they're worthless, they provide no help, no sustenance for their spiritual walk, and they continue on in that. And unfortunately, for the others, it brings an understanding that are darkened and alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. Now, didn't it say over in 2 Peter that you can forget that you were purged from your old sins? Hold your hand there. Look over at 2 Peter chapter 2. And look how 2 Peter chapter 2, or I'm sorry, chapter 1, lines up with kind of the same thought process of Ephesians chapter 4. First, or 2 Peter chapter 2, chapter 1, verse number 8. 2 Peter 1:8, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's see here. But he that lacketh these things is blind. He's blind and he cannot see afar off and have forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. You're talking about a saved individual. They can become barren and unfruitful. They can become blind and forget that they were purged from their old sins. Ben, I believe because of vanity, walking in the vanity of their mind, and we have not so learned Christ. Another one, look over at Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, verse 18. A fleshly mind. Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 18. Fleshly mind. Look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 18. Let no man, there's that word again. I wonder if Satan's behind that individual. Let no man beguile you. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands having nourishment ministered and knit together increaseth with the increase of God. Fleshly minds. Take a Bible, look at Romans chapter 8. A carnal mind. Romans 8. Romans chapter 8, verse number 7. I'm not going to read verses 1 through 7, but we'll start here in verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Can a believer get in the flesh? Yeah. Yeah. A believer can do all the things a lost man can do. A lot of people don't believe that, but I believe the Bible shows a believer, a saved person, can go out and get drunk. They can do that. Now, I believe if they're really saved, God's going to chastise them, but they can still go do that. Can a believer get into the flesh and do some ungodly things? Yes, absolutely. But there will be chastisement with it, a carnal mind. And lastly, take a look at Romans chapter 1 and look at verse 28. Flip over to chapter 1. Verse 28, if you let all these things abound in you as a lost individual, you'll get to Romans chapter 1, verse 28. Romans 1, 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, there's where you start running into trouble. They didn't like to retain God in their knowledge, and God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Reprobate mind. So you have a blind mind, you have a corrupted mind, you have a vain or vanity of the mind, fleshly, carnal, reprobate. Those are all pictures of a worldly mind. But now take your Bible, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 2. If we're not careful where we're at in our society today, this is the state of a lot of Christians in their mind, and rightfully so in some senses. If you spend your time with all that's going on in the world today, it's going to shake you if you're spending more time in the world than you are in the Word of God and in prayer and with the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to be shaken pretty quick. And I don't even think we're in the bad stuff yet. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 2. That ye be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit nor by... Remember we read about there over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I think it was there, talk about the spirit of the world? Spirit of the world? That ye be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as at that day of Christ is at hand. Not shaken, not troubled in mind by spirit, word, or letter. Shaken in mind. Take your Bible, look over at Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Looking at fainting in our minds. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1. Hebrews 12, 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Now, this is where I have some struggle sometimes right here. I think every Christian would battle with these things right here. Each one of us has something. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. You see, brethren, God didn't call us to just sit on the bench. God didn't just call us and save us, and then we get saved, and we just go over and sit in the rocking chair and just say, all right, that's good. God saved us for a purpose and a race that each one of us has to run. And the Bible says that as you're running this race, there's going to be some things there that are sins that will easily beset you. Yet the writer of Hebrews says here, he says, let us lay aside every weight. Every weight. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily get us. There's something in each one of our lives that is a that the enemy just uses as a go-to every time because he knows it's going to get us. Look, you could, and even when I work some of my jobs, you could lay out $1 million of cash on this piano and tell me to watch it, and by God's grace, and let something change, I'm not going to be tempted to try to slip a few $100 in my pocket and think that nobody's going to know. It just, that's never been a temptation to me. Having a bunch of money around, it's never been a temptation to me. I worked jobs before to where I'd have sometimes in my truck $14,000 cash, and I could easily take some because of the way the system was ran. By the time they would have figured out something was going, it would have been 3 years down the road. So it's never been a temptation. What I'm saying is there's some things that are temptations to others that others have no problem with. I was told of a man by my preacher back home that this man had a temptation and a lust for boats. Not women, not money, not a job, boats. Brethren, a boat don't get me. All right, there's a boat. That's nice. Okay, there's a big boat. That's even nicer. Fine. Boats do nothing for me. All right? But for this man, that was something that easily beset him. And each of us have something in our life that you know that just sometimes just so easily gets you. The writer of Hebrews says here, we need to get these things in a position where we get victory over them so that we can run with patience the race that is set before us. Verse 2, for what purpose? Looking unto the Antichrist. No, come on, man. No, looking unto Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him, Jesus, consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. For what purpose? Why? Lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Brethren, a Christian can become weary and faint in their minds. And it's a dangerous spot to be in. How many Christians sometimes get to a point to where they're wearied with the fight? It seems like every day you wake up, it's just another jab. It's like, when is it going to stop, Lord? Lord, is there any day of just respite to where there's not just some bad news or something bad happening? And sad to say, there probably isn't going to be many days that are going to be like that. Brother Glenn, you were in the Marines. Brother Sam back there was in the Army. Brother Jim, you're in the Army. Look, when you're in a battle, what does the Bible say? That we're endure hardness as good soldiers of Jesus Christ, moving forward to the fray. Look, if you're a Christian that desires to walk with God, to draw closer to him, the more you have that desire, the closer you're moving to the front lines. Now, I've never been on the front lines of a battle before, but I've read stories on it, and it's a dangerous place to be. It's a dangerous place to be. You read some stories of those men that fought in World War II as they were taking some of those islands there in Japan, or some battlefronts there in France, D-Day, Normandy, when they stormed those beaches. Most of those men, as they were getting off those vessels and were going through that sea, most of those men realized and probably knew in their minds, I probably won't make it to the sand. Yet they went forward into the fray for the cause of the United States of America and the countries that they were trying to help. How much more for Christians as we move forward into the fray for the souls of lost individuals out there? Do you think the enemy likes you handing out tracts or talking to somebody about the Lord? No. So we can expect that part if we're trying to be a witness, but we can also expect, I think even on a higher calling, is prayer. Brethren, how hard is it to pray? I'm talking about praying. I'm talking about really praying. I'm not talking about just getting down and just saying a few words for a minute and then getting back up or praying for your food. I'm talking about intercessory prayer. To me, that is, I would say, if not number one, number two, the hardest thing to do as a Christian. Intercessory prayer with supplication, strong. Look, when the Lord strong with strong prayers and supplications, His sweat was a sweat of droplets of blood. There's something about praying. True intercessory prayer. I don't know about you, but times where you get, now I know for me, I'll just speak for myself, there's times where you get down and you try to pray and it seems like the most vile, wicked, ungodly thoughts start flooding in your mind. You're thinking, where is this coming from? It's because, listen, when you pray, you are now entering into that heavenly realm. You are now bringing your prayers and supplications to the throne room, where Jesus there is interceding for the Father. The Holy Spirit sometimes prays for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Listen, you are entering into the spiritual realm through prayer. Brethren, there are entities out there tonight that we cannot see. There are heavenly battles going on out there that we cannot see because of our walk with God and the souls of mankind. And if we're in any one of these states right here as a Christian, we totally negate prayer. Because intercessory prayer, to me, would be the likeness of the Navy SEALs or Special Forces. The best of the best in our military are those like men of Elijah, David, and even women of prayer and men that were men of prayer. David Brainerd, Amor Carmichael. I mean, that got in there with God. The Lord's looking for someone to stand in the gap. One person. One person. Just one. The Bible says that He looked for a man. I believe I can apply that to Christian, looking for a Christian just to stand in the gap. Stand in the gap. These things are convicting to me. How many times do I faint in my mind or get wearied in my mind? Yet, unlike Christ, I haven't had to resist on the blood yet. As it says in verse 4, ye have not resisted on the blood, striving against sin. How much time do I really try to spend striving against sin in the ways of the world and worldly attitudes? More often than not, James chapter 4, we'll close with these two verses here. James chapter 4, verse 6. We'll start verse number 4. James chapter 4, 4. Now, he's writing this to the 12 tribes. You want to talk about some rough preaching. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? We do a little study on that verse right there. Friendship with the world is enmity with God. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But He giveth more grace, wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Double-minded. You know what double-minded means? It means having different minds at different times. Having different minds at different times. It means unsettled. It means undetermined. A double mind. One minute's this way, next minute it's this way, then the next minute it's this way, then the next minute it's that way. It's a double-minded man. It's a double-minded woman. And it's an unsettled state. Lastly, look over at Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. You have a double-minded individual. You also have doubtful minds. Look at Luke chapter 12, verse 22. Luke chapter 12, verse 22. Look what the Bible says here. The Lord Jesus Christ talking to his disciples, and he says this, Luke 12, 22. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. Do you realize what that statement says? Do you realize what the Lord says? The Lord says that if you come to a point in your life to where there's no food there, the Lord says, take no thought for your life what ye shall eat. What ye shall eat. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. You realize the Lord has not done us wrong if we wake up in the morning and all we have to eat is what right there what we have for that morning. God has not done us wrong that day. You say, what am I going to eat for lunch, or what will I eat in the evening? It hasn't come yet. The Lord might realize you might not make it to tonight, therefore you do not need the food for this evening. He might just be taking you home. The rapture might be getting ready to happen. Look, this is not Preacher Chris talking now. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. What does Jesus say? Jesus says, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or for the body, what shall we put on? The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? Preacher, I think we ought to get us a storehouse room and pack it full with MREs and this and that and this. And I think we just need to get ready for the end of the world. What does Jesus say? Jesus says, I feed the ravens. Jesus says, they don't sow, nor do they reap. They don't have a storehouse nor barn. And then he goes, how much more are you better and worth more than a raven? What did Elijah have when he was running? Nothing. He had the clothes on his back, and I think he had shoes on his feet, maybe. I don't know. That's all he had. And how did God feed him? A raven. I think myself, I'll speak for myself tonight. I think I sell God short sometimes. Not sometimes, Lord. I sell you short the majority of the time. I wish I could get a hold of these principles. I really do. I wish I could get a hold of some of these principles. I heard a preacher talking about missions this week and talking about sacrifice. I don't even know what sacrifice is. I'm just being honest with you. I got so much food in my house for weeks. If I had to go, I could probably go 2 months if I had to. If I just all of a sudden couldn't get no more food, I think my family right now could probably, if we skimped it, we might even be able to go 3 or 4 months probably if we skimped it. He was talking about a story, and I've seen this before. He was down on the mission field, this pastor. He said he went down to the mission field to visit a missionary there, and I think he was in a Dominican. Was he in a, yeah, he was in a Dominican. Huh. He was down in Dominican visiting a missionary down there, and one of the church families there wanted to invite him over for dinner. So they brought him over to dinner, and he came over to dinner to eat with this couple, and they had their kids, and they prepared him some rice and some vegetables, just a little bit of what they had, and they gave it to the preacher, and he ate it and got, you know, then they talked more, and he went home. But he come to find out, he realized that family sacrificed their food to give him food that night to eat, to where one of them went hungry that night because they gave their food to him because he was the missionary or the preacher. They gave up one of their only meals for the day for this man to have their best. Brethren, do you realize what a reproach it is? And God help me. Do you realize what a reproach and a stench it is in the nostrils of God when we complain about anything? I don't think there's anybody in this room that's given up one of their meals for the day because they're trying to give it to somebody to help them out. I haven't. Think about this. When we murmur, when we get upset at trivial matters, how do you think the Lord takes that? Especially when Jesus told his disciples, take no thought for your life. Look what he says in verse 25. And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? What good can your worrying do you? Zero. Verse 26. If ye then be not able to do that which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow it is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? Verse 29. And seek not ye what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be ye, look what the Bible says, of doubtful mind. Don't be of a doubtful mind. You know what, brethren, I'm telling you tonight, the Lord's dealing with me about these messages I was putting together. It's like God just smacking me in the face with it, saying, son, this is you most of the time. How many Christians today are going out and they're saving up gold, they're saving up diamonds, they're saving up all these other things to get ready for whatever bad might be happening? And the Bible, Jesus says, why are you of a doubtful mind? Do you not even realize that I will take care of you no matter what comes your way? Now, it might not be the way you think it should be, but you'll be taken care of. You see, you might not have that steak dinner, but you might have some beans and rice to make it through the next couple weeks. You might not have every flavor of ice cream in your freezer, but you'll have some bread to eat that morning. A doubtful mind. Can the Lord really take? Can how did the children of Israel get in trouble? Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Can? You know what? There was men like George Mueller who were willing to put it all out there on the line. See, it's easy to say yes, God will furnish a table in the wilderness, except when you're in the wilderness. Except when you're in the wilderness. See, we could say it from the comfort of our couch in front of our television. Yeah, God can. Yeah, of course. Lord, help me get in that wilderness. And we realize, God, where are you at? God, don't you realize, God, I don't have my Twinkies tonight. Brother, I'm in the boat. I'm in the boat. But I'd like to get to the point. I think it was William Carey said this. He said, expect great things from God, attempt great things for God. this preacher I've been listening to, his church isn't very big. It's down there in Tennessee. And like I said, I've only found him a couple weeks ago. And my wife was telling me, she listened to one message. His church, I think it was it last year, gave over $1 million to missions.
Amen.
When I was like, no, surely there's a mistake. There's really no church out there today that gives over $1 million to foreign missions. And it isn't a very big church. I mean, it's not a very big church at all. Brethren, I don't say these messages tonight to discourage us. Actually, I say these messages tonight to encourage us. I'd like Ray Street Baptist Church to attempt some great things for God. And I'd be reevaluating some things in my own life. Come January, we're going to vote on some missionaries to start taking on and start supporting. And I think that the Lord can do some things. But the Lord can only do some things when we're willing to start to try to sacrifice. And it starts with me first. It starts with me first. You see, I want to be that widow that gives the two mites. I want to be the widow that gives the two mites because Jesus said she gave all that she had. What a woman. What a woman to be. I mean, she is in Scripture for 2,000 some years now, and people still go back and talk about her, preach about her, go over her life. In a sense, the Lord pulled. You had all these famous religious men at that time, Pharisees, Sadducees, great rabbis, and the Lord pulls out this poor little widow woman who gives, in the world's eyes, nothing. Yet the Lord says she gave all that she had. What a testimony. Brethren, before we can get to the mindset of giving physically, we have to get to the mindset of giving ourselves. Giving ourselves. Giving our hearts and minds completely to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we give Him that, He'll have everything else that we have. We're going to look next week at a Christ-like mind. But if these things are in our minds or control our mind or what our mind is, it's going to hinder us getting onto this side to where God can do something through our life and give us that victory, give us the things that really matter, help us to be settled, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this evening. Thank you for your mercy and your grace and your goodness, Lord. I pray these things made sense. Lord, again, Father, I don't know up from down, dear God. And Lord, I pray, Father, you'd help me with these matters, dear Lord. Lord, it's so easy to get into a rut, dear God. It's so easy just to get into a rut and just go through the motions. But Lord, help us, dear God, to have the mind of Christ. Help us to walk in the light of your scriptures. Help us to be spiritually minded, not carnally minded. Help us not to be worldly minded. Help us not to walk in the vanity of our minds. Lord, but Lord, help us to walk in victory and through the help that we can gain from the scriptures that someday we can get home and we can hear those wonderful words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Lord, I pray I'd strive for that, dear Lord. And I pray you'd help these precious brethren, Lord, help us as we strive to live for you, walk with you, Lord, and bring you glory and honor. And Lord, we'll just pray these things all now in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.